Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land.
Free the land. We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And once again, we are back at the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of new African people in support of the new African independence movement right here. And I am your host, Brother Yera Amati, and also known as Brother Prophecy. And we will be joined, as always, by some of the brightest minds in the new African community. And today, we like to start the show out by shining the spotlight on a person, on an event, or an organization which is instrumental in the struggle for independence, in the new African movement for independence right here in America. And we want to talk about today on the show Special Field Order Number 15. This is where we get the concept of the term 40 acres in a mule. So let's just jump right into it. During the end of the Civil War, matter of fact, January 12th, 1865, General William T. Sherman, along with Secretary of War Edwin M. Stanton, met with 20 black leaders, mostly reverends and newly freed enslaved Africans, to determine what the newly freed enslaved Africans wanted, what direction they want to go, because they had to figure out what was going to become of the former enslaved Africans. So during this meeting, they asked, okay, what do you want? And the leadership, which was led by a brother by the name of Reverend Fraser, they said, with all due respect, we want land. We know how to live off the land. We can raise our food. We feel comfortable with land, because land is the foundation of freedom. So generals asked, okay, where do you want this land? Do you want to be, you know, a part of the regular U.S. society, or do you want it all separate to yourself? And he said, with all due respect, we don't feel comfortable around you. We don't feel safe around you whites, so we want our land to be separate. So General Sherman issued Special Field Order Number 15 on January 16th, a few days after the meeting, where he designated 400,000 of land, which was seized from the planters who had rebelled against the Union. So they took their land away and they reallocated it, and they gave it to these former enslaved African people. And he granted it. And this is where we get the term 40 acres in a mule, because this land was supposed to be divided up so each family would have 40 acres. And the union would supply agricultural tools, including a mule, in order for them to cultivate the land. And much of this land had begun to be issued out, and there were settlements and also territories beginning to be formed. One in particular was by a guy by the name of Tunis G. Campbell, which had established a settlement on Sea Island, in which he had created his own government. He had started his own schools. He had his own military had begun to form. And there were, you know, other settlements. And this, had it been left alone, had these settlements be left alone, it would have more than likely became an independent sovereign nation for new African people right there in the South. But what European people always do after the assassination of Abraham Lincoln and Andrew Johnson came into power, they went back on their word, overturned the ruling, the special field order number 15, and they took the land back and gave it back to the slave owners, the plantation owners. And what they told the people there was that if you wanted to stay, you had to work for your former slave masters. In other words, they put them back into a system of servitude. So this is the short story. This is an abbreviated version of the story of 40 Acres and a Mule, Special Field Order 15. But what I want to do is I want to play a clip from a documentary called Reconstruction, the Second Civil War. And it's a small section about the settlement of this brother by the name of Tunis G. Campbell, just to show you the level of independence that had begun, what had the potential of this special field order number 15. And this is from the documentary Reconstruction.
Even as Lee surrendered to Grant, scores of newly emancipated men and women were arriving at St. Catharines in the Sea Islands of Georgia. Under Sherman's Field Order 15, these abandoned lands would be theirs. Leading them was 53-year-old Tunis G. Campbell from New Jersey. For years, Campbell had worked tirelessly as an abolitionist, a preacher, an educator, and political organizer. With the help of Secretary of War Stanton, Campbell got himself appointed superintendent for the Union-occupied islands in Georgia.
There were a lot of people in 1865 who were trying to tell blacks what freedom is and tell them what they ought to be doing. Campbell reflects the impulse we should really determine ourselves what we're doing. Independence from white control, that's critical to their definition of what freedom is. It just happens that on St. Catharines Island, you can create such a thing. The whites have all fled. Sherman has given out land. So the opportunity to create an independent black community exists.
Immediately upon arriving and assessing the situation there, he calls a meeting of the people to explain to them, this is our home. Beginning next week, I will divide up the land into 40 acres for each of you.
Campbell arrived at St. Catharines with his own blueprint for a government. There would be a Congress with 8 men in the Senate and 20 in the House of Representatives, a Supreme Court, and Campbell himself as president. He even established a 275-man militia. Order, said Campbell, is heaven's first law.
So you've got this tiny little island, 12 miles long, 3 miles wide, and a government set up to resemble the United States government with a Supreme Court at the top. It's wonderful. What beautiful experiment in democracy. And people took to it very well. They liked the idea of having the power to select their leaders and remove them.
But at St. Catharines, no one was going to remove Tunis Campbell. At St. Catharines, Campbell used his own savings to bring teachers down from the north. Then he called on his wife, Harriet, in New York.
He writes a letter to Harriet. Says, bring the sons down. We're going to establish the schools. We're on an island of our own. There are no white people here, and we're going to lift up children. Bring all the primers you have, and please join us.
More than 1,000 students attended Campbell's makeshift academies.
The adults are being taught at night. They need to deal with white people more as equals. And to do that, they have to be literate.
White planters watching from the mainland resented the schools and the entire settlement. Not just because the land had been seized from one of their own, but because of Campbell's ambition and independence.
People like Campbell were viewed as black people out of their place. He can think for himself in ways that whites find hard to believe that a black person could think. This means, then, that history has somehow spun out of control.
By June 1865, Jacob Waldberg, the white planter who had owned St. Catharines, was back in Georgia. He demanded that Campbell get off his land.
The planters are holding up deeds to the islands that are 200 years old or 150 years old. They said, no, wait a minute. This is a nation of laws, and see, my great-granddaddy had this deed. And yours comes from a possessory title given to you in time of war for abandoned lands. How does that affect my promise of property rights under the Constitution of the United States?
Waldberg got his answer. St. Catharines Congress passed a law forbidding any white person from setting foot on the island. Campbell's militia stood ready to enforce it.
And that was a short clip from the documentary Reconstruction, the Second Civil War. I didn't have the full and entire clip, but you can go online. It's available right there on YouTube. You can watch it for free. That's Reconstruction, the Second Civil War. You can watch the entire documentary. It's a really good documentary. I suggest everyone to go out and watch it. But to basically summarize what happened with the brother in the settlement, the Independence territory, is after Andrew Johnson became president, as I said, they overturned Special Field Order number 15, and the land was taken back. Now, in this particular settlement with Brother Campbell, the European white people understood that they were not going to allow white people to take their land because he had a military of his own there. So what they did was they took black soldiers, what they always do. They get some of us to do their dirty work. They took black soldiers and ordered them to go in and retrieve the land. And when the black soldiers showed up, the black settlement didn't want to fire shots at other black men. And that's how this particular settlement was given back to the European people. But on this day, we want to acknowledge, we want to remember, we want to shine the spotlight on a moment in history that showed real opportunity for freedom for new African people. And that is Special Field Order number 15, where we get the term of 40 acres and a mule. Which brings us to our topic for today. Is it time? Is it finally time for new African people, for black people here in America, to gain our own independent sovereign nation? I mean, we've tried everything else. We've tried integration. We've tried voting. We tried seeking political office. We have a black president, but yet it seems like we can never escape the system of oppression. So, I mean, is the old saying true that, you know, maybe if you want to get what you never had, you have to try what you've never done? So this is the question. This is what we want to deal with. This is what we want to discuss with some of the brightest minds in the new African community. And I have my sister Ayodele on the line. Ayodele, are you here, sister? Mama Ayo.
Good morning. Free the land, brother.
Morning. Free the land, sister. So what do you think? Is it time that new African people, black people here in America, have our own independent sovereign nation? I'll turn it over to you, sister.
I think that we have been struggling since the time we were brought here as enslaved Africans, and I believe that we've been struggling for a nation without even understanding the reason why. We've had our emancipation, we've had our flight during Reconstruction, the Great Migration, and it seems as if we've been highly educated during segregation. We showed during segregation, people have forgotten just that little blurb of history. During segregation, we showed that we could be independent. We showed that we could produce our own. We could have our hospitals. We could have our stores. We could have what we needed. We and our own schools, everything that we needed to live as human beings, we exhibited those things during segregation. Now that we have so-called integrated and made it to the big house and made it all the way up, we've lost that perspective. We're working constantly every day for a system that doesn't appreciate the struggles and sacrifices of the people that they enslaved for 400 years. And those people have come out of a trials and tribulations and have overachieved. We have masters in every level of society that you want. Yes, we have the potential to be a great nation. We're just working for someone else. Our mind is set on perpetuating a system instead of looking at ourselves as a nation of African people that were brought here, that were exploited with labor. We keep saying it over and over again. Anything that we were, they tried to break and destroy. But we overcame many of those, not all, but many of those hurdles. And we are now producing a lot, spending a lot. We probably spend about $3.5 trillion or even more, according to some statistics. But it doesn't show in our communities and our schools because we're integrated and we want to be in the company of others, but it doesn't benefit. It benefits individual families, but it doesn't benefit us as a nation. We don't look at ourselves as a nation, within a nation, just as if the Hispanics look at themselves as a nation. Definitely the indigenous. There are several nations of indigenous people here. The Chinese think of themselves as a nation, even though they may call themselves Chinese Americans. They're still thinking and acting nationalistically. They have their stores. They produce many things. They bring in products. They make sure that they are economically viable. And again, I say we don't look at ourselves as a nation, so we don't see the need to produce our own food, clothing, shelter, housing, hospitals, education, military. We don't think on those levels. So is it time? It's been time. We've been acting as if we're ready, but we haven't turned our minds, our energies, our hearts towards nationhood. And that nationhood would be in here in America. It would be the five states in the South, focusing on those things, moving back, setting up structures, beginning to farm, beginning to construct. No, we don't look at ourselves as a nation, but we definitely need to. Free the land, brother.
Free the land, I am, I will. Excellent point. One thing that gets lost in all of our struggles for freedom and all of these things is really the concept of what actually freedom really is. You know, we have like movements, Black Lives Matter movements, and people always talking about we want freedom. But one thing that I won't say we haven't done because we have, just people in a specific movement that doesn't get a lot of attention have done it. But those in the mainstream are not necessarily privileged to this information, but we have to concretely define what freedom is. And us in the New African Independence Movement, we concretely define freedom as land, because the foundation of freedom is land. Independence. We have to have our own independence, self-government, our nationhood. We have to have the ability to govern ourselves, to create the type of systems that benefit us, and the establishment of an economic system that benefits the whole, not just private corporations for the benefit of gaining maximum profit for the ruling elite at the expense and exploitation of the proletarian, the working class. So when you go back to that term independence, because you have to understand that before we were forced under the system of chattel slavery. We were an independent people. We were freed from that system of chattel slavery. We were no longer independent. We were a dependent people, dependent upon a system that has been foundated on our exploitation. And so I agree with you 100%. And I want to make sure that I can get to my sister, Sa'unxa. I see my sister's on the line. She's been holding for quite some time. Sister Sa'unxa, are you there?
Yes, free the land.
So what do you think? What do you think? Is it time for us to have our own independent New African nation?
Oh, well, yes, most definitely. I mean, what has been restated and reiterated over and over and over, and that which we lived through every single day, and that which our ancestors have lived through every single day in terms of the brutality and the tormenting and the unnecessary deaths and generations of destroyed because of this particular system that we live in. So, of course, we need to divorce ourselves from it because on every single level we're under attack. And we've been under attack, and it's not going to cease until we take control of our own lives. Self-determination, that's the only way. That is the only way. I don't care what it is that we try to do. We have tried everything to so-called reform this particular system. But we have to understand the very fabric of this system is built on slavery. That's how it works. It works based on slavery. So for us to think that we're going to get anything different out of it, that's ridiculous because that's how it works. And all we're doing is perpetuating the wheel of death, perpetuating the wheel of population control, perpetuating the wheel of everything, anything and everything that we could possibly think of. So we need to stop. We have to, like you said, if we want a different result, we have to try something different. Point blank, period. Right. And yes, it's going to take work, but we need to not be lazy. And we need to focus our minds and our energy on what it is that we need, making sure that all of our basic needs are taken care of: food, clothing, shelter, education, health care, transportation, entertainment. The list goes on and on. But we need to take care of our own.
Exactly. Well said. You said a lot of great points. You know, one thing in particular that you talked about was how this system is foundated on slavery. That's what it's all about. And we have a misconception, a misunderstanding of that reality, because we think, well, we're no longer in chains and no longer certain things, you're no longer into forced servitude, which really you really are, you know, based on how the economic system is set up, but it's just more cleverly done today. You know, they set up an economic system where you have to go out and seek employment from these corporations at the wages and prices in which they set in order for you to survive. And because we have not practiced or studied the concepts of independence collectively in this country. Well, we have, but we've lost much of that independent mentality when trying to integrate. And integration was a devastating thing for us. You know, like one of our great teachers said, you know, we tried to integrate too soon. I mean, there's no way you can gain equality within a system if you have no power. So if you're integrating into a system with the people who has power over you, then what you're doing, you are agreeing to be, in essence, a second-class citizen. You know, not aware of that, but that's basically what you're doing, because you're entering into an integration with the people who have authority, who have power over you. You're not in a situation where you are dependent. You're not in a situation where you are self-determining. You can't determine your own reality. You don't have control of your own lives, the outcomes of things, of your pursuit. So, you know, you're exactly right. And time goes fast. I think we're going to have to probably at some point in time petition for more time for this show. But before we leave, I want to get some final words some solution. Well, I think we already kind of articulated the solution within the very topic. We have to have our own independent sovereign nation. But I would like to give you all the opportunity to have some final words. Sister Ayo Deli, Mama Ayo, are you still there?
Yes, free the land, brother.
Free the land, free the land. So what are some of your final thoughts on this subject?
As I say, we have to recognize that we are a nation of people. Not only are we historically connected, but genetically, our genotype and our phenotype connect us as a nation of people. Our historical reality, as I said, we've been here. We come from a place called Africa, Al-Kabulan, and what we need to do is to begin to really go in deep and use our powers of analyzation, not distraction, not methods that keep us focused on something else rather than think about those four questions. What would happen in our worst case scenario that we decided that we wanted to stop supporting, interacting with, and doing what we need to do to be a part of the system, and we slowly but surely begin to support ourselves, create our own stores, create our own distribution networks, create our own cars, create our own types of energies, create schools, so on and so forth, hospitals. How are we going to do that if we don't have the land to produce those things? We're saying that we have leaders that have set down a plan who announced in 1968 that we want to be free and independent, and that we are saying that the five states and the South are going to be our land, our government. We have a provisional government of the Republic of New Africa. Wonder if we begin to think on those levels, how would we do it? What is our plan? What is our strategy? It is time for us to think of ourselves as a nation. And if you physically cannot relocate to the South and set up settlements, because that's what we would be doing, how can you do it from where your present residence is? How can you begin to think differently, act differently, look at one another differently, recognize who the real enemy is and what the and how the enemy has manifested its strategy and tactics to keep us dependent and enslaved, not only just physically but mentally. And you begin to break down those distractions, break down those addictions, break down everything that would keep us in that point. And I can tell you personally, people that begin to do that, men and women, go out, find themselves a little bit more free in spirit, mind, and action. Free the land, brother.
Free the land, no doubt. I am, I will. Before we get out of here, I want to hear from my sister, Sa-Unk-Sar. Sister Sar, you still there, sister?
Yes, free the land.
Sister, free the land, I am, I will. So what are your final thoughts on this topic?
I encourage most definitely all new Africans to here in America who are, and of course all new Africans are black people living here in America that have been subjugated to the oppression of this particular system. I encourage everybody to get in contact with the Republic of New Africa if you're interested in forming a new nation. Get in contact with the Republic of New Africa. Get involved. We need help. You know, we need hands. We need brilliant minds. We need brilliant African minds to build for ourselves to assist the provisional government in reaching our goals and aspirations, you know, because we do have a plan set in motion. But we need people. We need the minds. We need the brilliance of our people to assist in building and creating for ourselves. So get in touch with the Republic of New Africa by any means necessary.
By any means necessary. Exactly. Well said. And I'm glad you brought up that we need support for the Republic of New Africa. For those of you who don't know, you know, the black nation, it already exists. It already, in this concept of black nationhood, of New African nationhood, it's not new. I mean, in reality, when the first Africans were put under this system of chattel slavery. Even though, you know, we have had African people from different nations, spoke different languages, some had different traditions. You know, you can argue and say many of them were already over here, you know, when this thing first started. We had all types of African people, but we were merged, we were united under a common oppressor, in a common oppression. This is the very definition of what's called an oppressed nation. So from the beginning, we were a nation. It's called an oppressed nation. And as we talked about earlier, with Special Field Order Number 15 under General Sherman, land was given to us. Land was promised to us. Land that would have established an independent sovereign nation right here. And what European people always do, they renege on their promises. But the black nation still existed. And in 1968, as my sister Sa'aksa so eloquently put it, 500 delegates of new African leaders in the nationalist, black nationalist community came together, met in Detroit, Michigan on March 31st to have a government conference and establish and name that black nation, the Republic of New Africa. And if you don't know about it, if you don't know about it, then do some research. Look it up. Go. We have information about it. We put out a short documentary about Nation Day. It happens every year around the 31st. It commemorates the signing of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the New African Declaration of Independence. And they created, you know, foreign dignitaries, created alliances with foreign governments. They set out and gave us a blueprint for independence, which outlined and calculated how to form independent new African communities throughout the national territory. So the research and the planning has already been done. We, as in this new generation, we must pick up this torch. We must pick up the blueprint. We must update it, and we must implement it. There's a lot of people who are talking about we need nationhood, we need independence right now. Well, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. All we have to do is pick it up and carry on what our ancestors left for us. I am Brother Prophecy. I want to thank everybody for joining us every week. Join us next week as we will always have discussions that are relevant to the liberation of new African people in the struggle, in the support of the struggle for new African independence. Free the land, brothers and sisters, free the land.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by